You're listening to a Day1.fm show.
Pick My Brain is the podcast where founders pitch me their startup and I try to give them some useful advice so they can connect better with potential co-founders, investors, media, and of course, customers. My name's Alan Jones and I was a founder myself for about 15 years, and after that an angel investor for another 15 years, so yeah, old. Some of my ventures have been successful and some failed disastrously, but I like to think I've learned a thing or two along the way, and maybe some of that can help you. So if you'd like to learn how to tweak your pitch, subscribe to the Pick My Brain show now, wherever you like to listen to podcasts.
The systems we had built and the way that we had built them was actually really geared towards serving our bank that had business customers and allowing that bank to rapidly evolve their product offering by plugging in their own payment infrastructure into our umbrella software.
Welcome to FinTech Fun. FinTech Fun is a podcast where Australian fintechs come to share their stories.
Hi, it's Chris Titley here. As part of the FinTech Fun podcast, we're joined by Simone Joyce, co-founder and CEO of Paperplane, in the studio in headquarters in a beautiful Brisbane day. Welcome, Simone.
Thanks, Chris. Thanks for having me.
Paperplane, can we go back to the early days or even before the early days about how the business evolved and that really early moment when you went, okay, let's go and do it?
Yes, and I think that I wish I could point to one moment where it was let's go and do it, but I think it was a culmination of many, many moments. But ultimately what we were trying to do was rethink the way that that consumers think about and interact with their payments to businesses that are more complex than your standard over-the-counter POS payment. Particularly we were looking at ongoing or recurring or standard subscription payments. We were looking at that because I had an issue with a subscription payment for a childcare after school care and lost my card,
right.
And ended up with a lot of fees from a payment provider that the after school care had no idea how to help me with. And having had some exposure to payments through a previous company, I realised that wasn't necessary and that there were better ways to do things. So that kind of triggered a really deep focus on how do we fix this. And this was, 2017. It feels like a long time ago now. It's not really that long in the great scheme of things. But in that time, the thinking and the approach we've taken has evolved from those early days, as has the landscape here in Australia. Happy to go.
There we go. So we go back to 2017. You've identified a problem. Let's go back to a little bit about your background and how that then morphed into this idea of like, okay, let's change this and let's see how we can fit in.
Yeah, well, it wasn't certainly this is not my first rodeo. It's not my first go at a high-growth tech company. I had previously with my then-boyfriend and now husband, we had done two previous startups. And they were really, really necessary, even though they were both not successful. Well, not in the traditional sense. One of them was
necessary is a good word.
It was very necessary. Yeah. We had to learn. And I fell into this industry through a poster I saw at UQ all the way back in 2012 that was talking about iLab. At the time, it was a joint venture between the UQ commercialization department and the state government. And what it did is expose me to tech companies and startups, a concept that I was not familiar with at the time.
Not many people know what a startup was in 2012.
No, not in Brisbane, certainly not in Brisbane. Turns out there was a lot of activity in that space in other areas of the world, but we were really early on our journey here in Brisbane. But I loved it. The concept was really attractive to me of being able to build and iterate and learn and keep going. So we had taken two ideas. One of them ended up becoming invested in by a payments company, and part of the investment parameters was that I went and worked at that payments company as a product strategy officer, and just really loved payments. I just loved the nature of payments and the way that they underpin everything we do, yet not a lot of us know how they work. And that means that there's only very few people that can identify opportunities and go and do things to improve them. So, yeah.
And then Paperplane, when it was established, we got to the point of like, okay, let's do this full time after you're using your years of experience, etc. Talk about that first week, day, month of Paperplane.
That I do remember as one particular day. So it was the first working day of January 2018 that we were officially starting work on Paperplane. And we'd acquired some technology systems. We were very fortunate, and even more fortunately, we were able to have the key developers that have been working on these systems agree to come and work with us. And today, Grant remains our CTO, and he's without Grant, there wouldn't be Paperplane. And we have Sean and Liam also still working with us, and they're so valuable. We didn't have an office to work in. What we did have...
Well, working from home wasn't cool back then, was it?
It wasn't cool. It was really unusual. So what we ended up doing, it was... So my brother and I and my husband was still working at a full-time job. He's our creative director now, but Jonathan, my brother and co-founder, was still working at his full-time job. And then we had managed to convince Marie Mortimer of loans.com.au here in Brisbane, fabulous, very generous person, had allowed us to use some meeting rooms at loans.com.au HQ.
Yep.
But it was really unusual to be, you know, hot desking or working out of someone else's.
Yeah, who are these people?
What's happening?
Are they on our payroll or not?
Yeah, this is not okay. So we ended up, you know, falling back to work from home. And we did that for a full 12 months until we had our first office. We actually went live that year, 2018, August the 13th. I had this one amazing business that is still one of our legacy direct-to-business customers today. And it was really intimidating at the time. I remember going to her house to talk to her about this software product. And the day that she went, okay, I'm ready, let's do it. It was a great day, but also a really scary day where we suddenly went, oh no, we've actually got to move money.
Yeah, that's right.
Now. Oh my goodness. This is actually going to happen.
The oxymoron of a payments company, is that right?
Yeah, that's right. So look, back in those days, we were aggregating funds. So we were actually receiving the funds into our bank account and then settling them out to businesses. And that was a really necessary thing that we did back then. Certainly not something I would like to do again. It's not what we're geared for, but it was really necessary. And I often thought about at that time the co-founders of Airbnb. I remember reading something where one of them had said, oh, we had to do things that we knew were not scalable in order for us to get to the bit that we could scale. And they went and sold that breakfast cereal. Do you remember they had Obama owners?
No, but I remember their previous name. I think it was, I can't remember, was it My Airbnb or something?
Oh, yeah, and they ended up, you know, sending photographers to help people take pictures and things. And for us, that not scalable bit was aggregating funds. The reason it wasn't scalable is that, you know, one of the, I guess, the blessings and the curses of trying to start a neobank or a payments company is you often have to have a security deposit set aside that grows in proportion with your volume.
Yeah,
so you've always got this anchor attached to you. So we actually ended up growing quicker and bigger than what we anticipated. We were hoping that we'd get to around 80 businesses by the end of that year, and I think we closed the year on 150. And that was purely through word of mouth, and it was a really interesting word of mouth as well. What we hadn't anticipated was that because our system works in a different way, you send a digital payment request to your payer as a business and they onboard into the environment and then can come back and manage. It's called a smart payment agreement. But every time a business did that, it was like a little advertisement in the hand of the payer, and some of those payers had their own businesses that wanted to use the experience as well. So that was
the army of users.
It was really interesting, and it was great because it taught us a lot about what the product was, you know, where people were really seeing the value. Was it setting out to do what we wanted it to do? And we really answered those questions about, do we have a product market fit here? Around that time, at the end of 2018, start of 2019, we realised both on our own and both from an environmental impact that it was no longer sustainable for us to continue to grow that aggregation volume. And so we went through this, it felt pretty traumatic at the time, but it was really necessary process of moving all these businesses off our payment infrastructure, I suppose, our payment facility, and onto their own, where we could keep servicing them as a software provider. And that allowed us then to free up the capacity to rethink how we were approaching the industry. Up to that point, we'd be directly serving businesses and then their payers as an indirect. And we realised that the systems that we had built and the way that we had built them was actually really geared towards serving our bank that had business customers and allowing that bank to rapidly evolve their product offering by plugging in their own payment infrastructure into our umbrella software, so to speak. And we started on that journey in 2019. Even though we'd built the systems, we certainly hadn't built ourselves as an organisation to be to go into a bank. And again, it was a chicken and egg thing. At no point before we served a business could we have walked to a bank and knocked on the door and said, oh, we've got this really great system. Who's using it? No one yet. You'd be the first.
so you have to start somewhere.
We do. And then we went on another learning journey, which was, what do you need to do in order to be prepared to deal with a bank as a client? Which I kind of think sometimes, had we known then what we know now, would we have ever been brave enough to do any of the things that we've done? But we've always learnt just in time what we need to do. And so that started our journey down things like ISO 27001 and SOC 2 and thinking about how we organise ourselves and how we think about our growth and how we think about our software platform, you know, five nines availability and zero data loss. They're not things that you're thinking about typically in those really, really early years as a startup, but they're certainly things we're thinking about now and actually delivering on now because of who our clients are and what our next phase of growth is.
And speaking of the current situation in paper planes, some news recently that CommBank took a stake in your business, and I believe you also have Tyro as a shareholder. Those are two organisations well known to payments in Australia. Can you talk about the current state of paper plane, how you're progressing and really with those two partners, how that's going?
Yeah, so we're extremely fortunate in that those two shareholder relationships came about through our belief in the product as a product that those institutions wanted to use, and that's a really good thing for us. We do have clients that aren't shareholders in the same space, but they're the two that are shareholders today, and that at the back half of this year there'll be more information around that, more announcements. But for us, it really, I guess, validated what we were doing and the value that we were going to bring to the banking industry and institutions, both now and in times to come. When we do go into a banking environment, we don't go in through consumer channels. We really focus on business banking from a transactional and payments product perspective, and we go in more as a critical piece of infrastructure. So we're not, you know, an app that gets plugged in or an SDK that gets plugged into to a part of the experience. We actually form quite an important piece of infrastructure. So for some of our clients, that meant that they wanted to have ownership in that infrastructure, given the importance of it going forward. So for us, that was really great. But it also meant that we then can really think about those relationships as partnerships for growth as well as client relationships. If you had asked me, would you like either of those clients as pure clients or shareholders, if you could only pick one, I would pick client every time. But we were really lucky that we got to do both.
Yep. No, fantastic. And then putting the hat on, and we do this interview in 12 months' time, where would you like to see Paper Plane as a business?
So I think in 12 months' time, we'll see a lot of growth in the current clients we have, as well as some extra ones that we'll be switching on over the next 6 to 9 months, and really an uptick in the rollout and distribution of those products within those clients. As any company and startup would know, when you do deal with a banking client, there's some really clear phases in the relationship. There's acquisition, and that can go on for a mighty long time. And then there is actually, getting through the procurement, then getting through rollout, and then getting in optimization. And those things are not short cycles. So in 12 months' time, I'd really like to see us in the optimization phase for our existing clients and at the beginning of the procurement phase for others. I also think that the next 12 months we'll see one of the biggest transitions that Australia has seen in their payments infrastructure, and we're really lucky to be part of that transition. So I would really like to see the volumes grow across things like Pay2 and the new payments platform, as well as some of the changes to CDR that will allow more activity on CDR.
A lot more entrepreneurship and innovation to come, I'd imagine, on that front.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Now, when you're not talking about regulatory codes and procurement with large banks, you sit on the board of FinTech Australia as chair.
Yes.
Can you talk about how that came about and how the roles, and there's a big festival coming up in a couple of weeks that I'll be attending?
Yes, there is. Intersect 2022. Don't miss it. If you haven't got your tickets, they're on sale now. So all the way back in 2018 when we were looking at actually 2019 is probably more accurate, when we were thinking about how we would grow as a company and what the infrastructure and the rules would permit us to do in the payment space, I realised that there was a lot of changes that needed to be made that hadn't really started their proper progression yet through government and through policy and regulators. And I kind of thought, well, you know what, if I want to make sure that we've got the best possible environment for us to operate in, I really want to play a part in helping to shape that. And I think that, and I thought then, and I still do, that giving some time to really take that message forward for everyone in the space was a really valuable thing to do. And I still do think that. And FinTech Australia is very effective at advocating for our members. And obviously I have a really focused payment lens, but we do obviously have directors and members and working groups that focus on a wide range of things, whether it's lending, superannuation, CDR is a really big focus. We also have a lot of companies in that operate in digital currencies. So and PropTech's another one, InsurTech, and there's space for all of those things to be advocated for appropriately and with enough, I guess, clout in order to be heard. So that's why I joined FinTech Australia back then. And that's how I became a director and then became chair, and I've been chair. This is the end of my second year.
Fantastic. And that the Finnies were recently in Melbourne as well, and 450 people, which is an advocacy of the sector and the interest in the sector.
It was a wild party, and it was a really nice acknowledgement of the work it's done. It's pretty intense building a fintech. And I think we're coming into some more intense times now. Mm. But, yeah, it's nice to be able to acknowledge some of the work that people are doing in the space.
And now when we're not talking fintech and we're not talking anything, what do you do in your downtime? What do you do to relax? I know, do you have any downtime is probably the first question.
This is going to sound so lame. I have four children, so...
Well, there's your downtime.
One day of my weekend is literally spent doing laundry. But I don't mind it. I find it quite mindful to be folding and hanging out.
Cathartic, some people say.
It is because, you know, it's nice. The clean clothes smell nice. You're outside. So I know that makes me seem like the most boring person ever.
No. There's a little things. I mean, I take control of the kitchen in our household, so my wife says, don't worry about that. You know, that's my domain.
Okay.
Right. So, you know,
that's good.
Cooking and things and whatever. And that's kind of something which, again, you have to deal with kids, but when the kids are not there, it's sort of cathartic.
So I don't, I'm not good with cupboards. If I can't see it, then it's tidy as far as I'm concerned. Then someone will open a cupboard and things will tumble out on them. That's my husband. He steps in and goes, all right, I cannot stand this anymore. Step away from the cupboard. I'm going to organise it. He actually bought a label maker last week. And I said, you know, it's not magic. You can put a label on something, but you can't make me put the thing there.
There you go. And now when someone comes from out of town, someone from Commonwealth Bank, for instance, or Tyro, and they say, oh, Simone, let's go out to lunch or go out to bite. Where do you go? Where do you think, I'll need to show the people from Sydney or Melbourne, Sydney, Brisbane, you know?
Can I remind you, I have four children. I do not go out to eat very often. Mm. However, I have been to the sushi room at the
That's just recently opened next to
very
SK.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yes.
Haven't been yet. Yeah.
I'm probably better with lunch recommendations.
Lunch. Go nuts.
Cheeky Pokey it's in the laneway up the road from our office. It gets a bit of business from us. As does Corbin and Claude, which is downstairs.
Yes, the good pizzas. Yes. Might have to do them a tag
on
LinkedIn.
There's a good salad
podcast
there too. So, there you go.
Interesting. Very much. Thank you very much, Simone, for coming in and telling us the story about Paperplane, the behind the scenes before to the progression that you've got thus far. And congratulations to what you've achieved thus far. Sounds like some interesting news coming in the next 6 to 12 months.
Yeah.
And wish you all the best. And thank you for being chair of FinTech Australia and the events that you guys run. It's fabulous and getting everyone together and networking, which is the power of networks. And even reference to the point where I had SwiftX in recently and they said they'd started the discussions with Superhero at Intersect, of which now has been a merger. So,
so good.
Very, very powerful in that front. And look forward to catching up.
Thank you so much, Chris. Thanks for having me.
For more information on Sub 11, jump onto our LinkedIn or email me, chris@sub11.com.au. Thanks for listening.
Listen to the Unfunded podcast brought to you by the Day One Network and hosted by me, tech writer Joan Westenberg. We're sharing the no-holds-barred, untold stories from entrepreneurs who have decided to build a business on their terms. I'll be interviewing successful founders and operators on the grit and ingenuity it takes to build and scale independent startups without the support of traditional venture capital funding. Subscribe to the Unfunded podcast now, wherever you get your podcasts.